of soul.
This is Bass Talk Live. Your host, Mark Jeffries and Matt Pangrack. BTL is brought to you by Lowrance, Lose, Strike King Lures, Bass Cat Boats, Duckett Fishing, Spro, AFCO, Sunline, and TH Marine. BTL coming at you. Good Wednesday, everybody. Welcome once again to BTL Bass Talk Live, where we're going to talk bass fishing and anything else that we want to talk about. Matthew, quite the week this week.
It's very quiet in the studio after yesterday.
Yeah, it was a thing of beauty yesterday, seeing Jimmy with his sunglasses. You're not going to rub it in this morning?
Yeah, I mean, I got the Chick-fil-A. You'll see it. You know, one of the cool things they're doing this year, and I've mentioned it before, but we're kind of getting this thing rolling, is some more behind-the-scenes videos. I'm going to continue what I'm doing with my kind of tournament summaries and recording and filming all that, except on the AFCO channel, it's going to be on the BTL YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And I started yesterday before the show. I said this would be a great one to kind of kick off, get the GoPros going. We had, you know, Chris Prather, professional bowler in studio. You were fanboying all over him, Mark. You're giving him rods stud, and reels. You're telling Jimmy, this guy has perfect form. If anyone's going to learn from him, this is the guy to just watch this man in slow motion repeatedly. I'm like, oh, Jesus. Like, anyway, so we had Jimmy. So I started filming yesterday before Jimmy came. So we've got all this on GoPro where we made this bet on whether or not he'd be wearing the sunglasses.
Yeah,
and I said yes, and you said no, and he comes in, and the funniest part of the whole show was, I look at Jimmy, this is right before anything, you look at Jimmy, I look at you, and this wasn't on air, and I said, no. You want to just call it a push? Because he had the sunglasses around his neck, and you look back at Jimmy and go, yeah, that works. And Jimmy's just sitting there going, what the hell is going on? And then he puts the shades on, and mayhem ensued. But man, I mean, the guy has a story for everything.
Yeah.
And I've never seen anyone who could so casually name drop Toby Keith, Sam Walton, three presidents. It's unbelievable. And it's not like he's showing off. That's who he hangs out with.
I know.
It was good stuff. So,
all right, we're going to continue the great week, wrapping things up here on a Wednesday with a man that needs no introduction, Mr. Rick Klun. Very excited to get him on the show. And I'm kind of excited to talk to him about his recent trip to Europe. He spent, I think it was 10 days over in Europe, not really fishing, but just vacationing with his son and his family.
Amsterdam?
I'm not really sure. So we'll find out here in about 10, 15 minutes. But really, really looking forward to having Rick on. I know a lot of people on the instant feedback, too, are very happy that Rick's on the show. All right, a couple things real quick. I want to announce this giveaway that I'm going to do. And folks, in case you didn't see it or don't realize it, Lowrance is a huge, huge part of what we do here on BTL. And for those people, and I get emails every now and then, Matthew, that say, hey, I've followed you since the XM days. Well, guess who the first sponsor was for the XM show?
I mean, pretty obvious.
It was Lowrance.
I feel like that's a leading question.
Yeah, but that was when Darren Cole was at Lowrance, and Darren Cole is now part managing partner of Blue Heron Communications.
Do you still have a couple of those units from the very first sponsorship deal you did with them laying around? Was it that LC-45
or
whatever
it is? It's right over there under the edit desk.
You want me to go get it real quick? I'll see what it is. I want to see what it is.
No. It's just the box.
I know, but I just want to see what the box says on it.
Anyway, folks, what we're going to do is we are going to reward the loyal fans. And really, we have three different viewers and listeners. We have the live viewers that are watching right now on YouTube and on BassZone.com. And then we have the replay viewers that watch the video replay on YouTube and on BassZone.com. And then we have probably our largest listener base, which is on iTunes and Spotify and everything else from a podcasting standpoint.
This is recent. It's 2007.
Oh, that's the wrong one.
No, it's the LCX-113CHD.
That was a badass unit 13 years ago.
It's still a badass unit, I'm sure.
It is.
Not compared to what you're about to give away.
No, so what I'm going to do is, in this day and age, podcasting is huge. And with us kind of being on the cusp of being kind of at the forefront when it comes to podcasting. Matt and I have worked very, very hard to get into the position that we're in. I want to give something back. This is nothing that Lawrence is involved with, right? In other words, I did not call Lawrence and go, hey, man, I want to give away a unit.
This is out of the kindness of your heart.
This is my unit. One of the units that I was going to put on the boat, and I made the decision that instead of putting it on the boat, I'm going to give it to one of our loyal fans, all right? Now, here's what I'm going to do. If you have an iTunes account, obviously reviews and rankings, ratings are very, very important to the positioning of this product with the sponsors. YouTube, obviously, vitally important. And then obviously the website is critical to the whole process at the same time. But the most critical part right now is our podcast and the downloading of the podcast on iTunes and Spotify.
Just quick.
Yeah.
There's still people. I mean, I'm still relatively new to the podcast on the phone and stuff. So basically, if you just have an iPhone, like I still have an old iPhone, there's a purple button. It comes with your iPhone. It's like one of those apps. It's on. You just tap on it. It says podcast. And then there's a little thing and you just search. So you just search Bass Talk Live on it.
And there
I feel like this is applicable for people, or if you're listening on some other feature, and then boom, BTO pops up. You click on it.
Yeah.
Then you can just click the subscribe button, and then it will download to your phone. Let you know when a new episode is out there. But you know, it's got the recent episodes and everything. It scrolls down to ratings and review, and you can rate us and put a review. It's the simplest thing ever. It's the
exact same
show. But then you can, you know, hooks up to your car. You can listen to it at work, whatever it is.
Yeah.
If you just listen to us on another
iTunes
platform.
Well,
you know,
if
YouTube or something, you can take it on the road.
Yeah, if you listen on Spotify or Google Play, if you do not have an Apple device, that's fine. You can still do a review.
Mm-hmm.
On iTunes. The other thing is, in case you do not have an iPhone, you can still get an iTunes account on your PC. All right, that is still available where you can do a review on your PC. So what I'm going to do, and I thought about this a long time, and as I said earlier, Matt and I have worked very, very hard to get us in the position that we're in with the fan base that we have. I am going to randomly give away a Lawrence HDS 12, right here. The big one, right here.
In front of that thing, so we get it right.
Right there.
Oh, that's a live, HDS live.
Yeah, I think the retail value, I mean, I've seen it anywhere from $2,000 to $2,500 to $3,000. All right? I'm going to give this away to a random listener that does a review for us over on iTunes. And when we hit 1,000, everybody that has done a review.
So there's going to be 1,000 names. You have to go through each one.
Well, I looked.
Type
okay.
their name, and, their review
no, just,
name out.
Right. Yeah. I'm just going to randomly go through and I'm going to randomly pick somebody.
So if you've done it before, you're still
you're
in it.
You're still in it.
Yeah. It's not like just new ones or
old ones.
No. So it's just
so,
once we hit 1,000.
I think right now we're at 880. All right, and there's nobody in the industry that's even close to that right now. But I want to get to 1,000. It is very important to me. It's very important to BTL to get to that 1,000 mark here in 2020. And I want to give this back to one lucky fan that has been a part of the process of getting to 1,000 reviews. So there you have it. What is it, Matthew? Between $2,000 and $3,000? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the top of the line, the latest stuff that just came out last year. So.
Transducer, everything that goes with it.
That transducer is in there?
Yeah. Yeah.
You sure?
100%.
All right.
So, right here.
Hooked up.
All right. You will get hooked up with this unit. Once again, all you got to do is do a review. Then once we hit 1,000, I will be monitoring it feverishly. So once we get to 1,000, then I will randomly select. And I think we're going to have either somebody from Lowrance in studio for that show that we give it away, or we're going to have them on live via Skype.
Good stuff, Jeffries. I commend you on your gift giving.
The fans make it happen, Matthew. I mean,
that is not your strong suit, but that's a solid giveaway.
All right. There you have it. So, please, I'd like to get to that. It would be cool if we got to it next week. That would be really cool. Mm-hmm. So there you have it. It is in the box, ready to go. All you got to do is do a review on iTunes, and you will be eligible for an opportunity to get that unit. All right, man, what else is taking place? The FLW guys, they have a day off today, correct?
Yeah, they got lucky as heck. It's like cold and nasty and windy down there at Sam Rayburn. There's some guys that are catching fish. There's some guys that are catching fish, but a big front system moving through, and then the FLW Pro Circuit season gets underway tomorrow. And here it's nasty too. I'm actually the Lynx is going to be in a boat show. I guess I'm not even sure what boat show's coming up.
Here in Oklahoma City?
I think so. Or Tulsa? I don't know. Anyway, so it's going to be there. They wanted S&D guy Scott Dennis over there at S&D and Tyler and stuff to put it in there. So I was like, it's not spick and span. I mean, there's some crappie slime on the front deck if you haven't been watching what I've been doing. But
People want more. Scott in Virginia says, let's see a video on those giant crappie.
Yeah, there's some stuff coming. You can also check out the bass tank, just the bass tank.
Yeah.
Which they're going to be doing some stuff with us too.
Yeah, right, we've got an announcement next week, hopefully.
Yeah,
on that.
So you can go there and get your fill of giant crappie that guys are using using the live site and the live scope and stuff to kind of find these crazy fish. So that's what's been going on. So I got the boat cleaned up and then it's all wet and nasty out there today. So.
Yeah, so they'll have to do a little work on that. All right, big news yesterday. I think the press release came down about Tackle Warehouse.
Yeah, Tackle Warehouse, the title sponsor of the FLW Pro Circuit. So it is the Tackle Warehouse FLW Pro Circuit now, which is very interesting, seeing as how involved Bass Pro Shops has been with the BPT and Major League Fishing. And, I mean, that's probably their primary competitor, Bass Pro
Shops. It's kind of weird. It really is.
Not in a bad way.
No, it's just weird.
Yeah, you would have thought Bass Pro Shops would have jumped all over that FLW thing, and then
I see that it is an additional revenue stream, obviously. You know, they got out the checkbook, they're writing a check, but the fact of the matter is, now the potential customer, what are they going to do? Are they going to choose Tackle Warehouse, or are they going to choose Bass Pro Shops when it comes to making their tackle purchasing decisions?
Yeah, so it's the...
I mean, isn't there a lot of people already using Tackle Warehouse? Isn't Tackle Warehouse the go-to for a number of items already?
Right, I'll be interesting to see, and I'm actually kind of perusing through the January 20th press release that it says about it, if there's going to be, you know, any discounts or anything for those FOW members, because you look at the number of anglers that has. I mean, depending on all the different levels that you are you going to have the possibility for member discounts through Tackle Warehouse? But I would imagine if you're fishing at that level and stuff, I mean, you know, Tackle Warehouse is a big part of your life. I mean, I know it is on the tournament road. I mean, I can't count how many times I've, you know, the 2 days before been like, now here's the one rule of Tackle Warehouse. And you talk to any serious angler, and I think they would agree with this for the most
What's
part.
That? What's that?
Anytime you go into practice and you are on the water, which happens all the time, and you are putting in a massive Tackle Warehouse order and paying that extra to get it there the night before the tournament, guaranteed that pattern will evaporate and you'll end up with 15 to 20 packs of baits or a dozen baits that you will never use for the next year and a half. You want your pattern to go away? Order Tackle Warehouse on the water. You see what I'm saying there? It happened to be at Kentucky Lake. I had one of the tungsten two taps or whatever last year, and I got it accidentally. I thought I just got a regular red eye shad, and I realized this is a tungsten two tap. They're choking it. I order 10 of them. They get there the night before the tournament. Guess how many tungsten two tap fish I weigh? Zero.
Wow.
That's the Tackle Warehouse. I got worms from the 2015 Open I fished on Table Rock, where I got 15 packs of Robo worms that haven't been touched since then.
Wow. Jake in Ohio says, I think you guys are underestimating how title sponsors impact shopping. Go to BPS website, then Tackle Warehouse.
So, yeah, I mean, Tackle Warehouse is the deal.
But he's saying that at least he goes to BPS first before he goes to Tackle Warehouse.
Is that what he was saying?
Yeah. It says, go to BPS website.
No,
then
he says everyone shops at Tackle Warehouse.
Oh, okay. All right. He's right.
Yeah.
He's right. So I don't know. I mean, obviously, you want to get positioned to grow your market share. Mm-hmm.
And obviously, good that they got a title sponsor the day before this.
But they just don't do that. You know, it's the first time that I can remember that Tackle Warehouse really stepped up at a high level of sponsorship to get their name out there when they already had a pretty good brand awareness.
Yeah, this is the quote from Tackle Warehouse. It said, both FLW and Tackle Warehouse have long made their missions to serve tournament anglers from collegiate anglers to touring professionals. FLW has offered unique opportunities for anglers to compete and excel. Tackle Warehouse is excited to support the FLW organization and serve FLW anglers. As tournament bass fishing fans and anglers, we at Tackle Warehouse are excited to follow all of the action on the 2020 Tackle Warehouse Pro Circuit.
Yeah. Once again, and I talked about this, what, 2-3 years ago, Matthew, about the Amazon impact. When is it going to get to the point where Amazon truly has an impact on the fishing industry? Did you notice what they built over here just by the airport? Have you been by there lately?
I have not.
A massive Amazon distribution center.
Wow.
You haven't been over by the airport lately? I mean, they've been working on it for two.
Tulsa, dude.
Yeah, they've been working on it for like 2.5 years. It's finally open, operational, and it's a small one. And the economic impact that Amazon has, we're kind of seeing some companies getting involved from the Amazon model. I don't know, man. I think it's going to be a challenge in the future. I know if anybody out there has followed the business side of the retail aspect of fishing, and we need to get Ken Duke on sometime soon. We haven't had Ken on in quite some time to talk a little bit about the retail side of things that are taking place, but not looking very good from a Wall Street perspective on fourth quarter sales for Bass Pro Shops / Cabela's when it comes to sales estimates that they were trying to hit. They did not hit the number. And that is one of their obviously really, really important periods with the holidays and everything else going on. So some very, very challenging times for some unique characteristics about what's taking place in the tackle industry right now.
Totally.
All right. Anything else, Matthew?
No, I was doing some stats on Rick that, I mean, I'd rather ask him like deep, profound stuff than go over stats with him. So I figure I could hit you with a couple before we get to the man.
Okay.
How many tournaments recorded? Now, he's fished a ton more of this because you got to remember, you throw in the U.S. Open and all this crazy stuff that they used to fish back in the day. How many do you think he's fished between Bass and FLW over his career? We're talking like tour-level events. Coast or
500? 500?
521.
I was close.
So I broke that down, and, you know, we're talking about a dude who's, well, he's over 70, and he's still doing this. You know how tired I get after back-to-back weeks of weekend tournaments or something?
Oh, yeah.
He's fished the equivalent of a major tournament every single week for 10 years straight.
Wow.
And still going strong. Now, I broke that down. Now, some obviously, you know, you've got him practicing, you know, 3 or 4 days on some with no limit. Some are two-day tournaments. Some are four-day tournaments. But I just broke it down. Let's say it's a two-day tournament with 3 days of practice or 3-day tournament with 2 days of practice. I put five days for each of those 521 tournaments, and it's probably over 650 when you take into account all the stuff that doesn't show up on the Bass and FLW websites from back in the day, more so the Bass, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, the 60, 70 stuff. It's the equivalent of him either practicing or competing for 2,605 days, or every single day for 7 years straight for a tour level event, coast to coast.
Man, that's a grind.
Yeah.
That is a grind.
He's fished 456 events. Kevin's fished 314 events. But I also didn't realize Rick has 3 FLW wins, 4 top 10 Forest Wood Cup wins, and 65 FLW events. Did you realize that?
I did not realize
that. And I
that.
Say that because I roomed next to him at the Costa on Lake of the Ozarks. Stayed at this kind of lodge place where, yeah, you back your boat into the water, you put it in your slip for the week, and it's kind of like this little room. And I was staying by myself because,
yeah,
I thought it would really benefit me.
Yeah.
With my 120th place finish, really benefited me.
Yeah.
But anyway, he was staying next to me, right? So I said, "Hey, Rick, how's it going?" Every time I see Rick, we talk poker. Because that's his jam, right?
Yeah, he's played.
Everybody wants to talk fishing with Rick. Yeah. Rick wants to talk
about
poker.
He's played in multiple Heartland Poker Tour events here in the Midwest.
I'll tell this story real quick. So anyway, staying next to me, and we keep running to each other on the dock, like coming in at night or walking up with tackle or stuff, and it kind of becomes a joke over 2 or 3 days. So I go to Walmart after I was there for 3 days of practice, after 2 days, and I'd been running into him, you know, this kind of couple 3 or 4 times. And I'm going down the aisle, and, you know, I'm just by myself, depressed that I'm not catching crap.
Yeah.
And I'm going to eat my feelings. So I've got going down the aisles, and I hear, "The heck was that?" And I go down another aisle, I hear, "I'm pretty sure it was someone whistling at me. What is that?" So I make a turn down the yogurt aisle. There's Rick Claude. Rick comes up and he goes, "Hey, how's it going?" I said, "Good. What's going on, Rick?" And he's there with his brother, who he hadn't fished with in, you know, 20 years or whatever. And he was fishing as a co-angler side. So he introduces me to him. And Rick, like, eyes my shopping cart.
Yeah.
And I've got a 3-pack of ribeyes in there. I've got multiple. I mean, I got a cart full of stuff. But I'm planning on being there for another 4 days. And Rick's got, like, some granola, a couple things of yogurt, some cases of water. I mean, stuff you'd think Rick Claude would have in the cart,
right? Good stuff, man.
And he looks at my cart, and he's seen me, but he hasn't seen me. He goes, "Well, who are you staying with over there?" And I said, "Ah, just me." And he looks at my cart again. He goes, "You're going to eat all that food?"
You were chowing down your frustration.
Totally judged by shopping.
Yeah.
I mean, I had like the mega box of Gushers in there. I had multiple boxes of cereal, Pop-Tarts, all sorts of stuff. So, but it was really cool in that tournament because he went out and he smashed them. Day 2, it's pouring down rain. We've got a lightning delay. Everyone's under it. Rick's in the hunt, and he's sitting out under the rain, just super focused, pouring down on him, 40 degrees. And I'm like, dang. That's Rick Claude.
That's cool.
And I'm in the same tournament as he is, and that's him dialed in, catching him on a spinnerbait up a river on a lake that he's fished for 50 years. That's freaking cool.
That is cool. All right, coming back with the man, Rick Claude. Everybody, stay tuned.
The ultimate fishing system starts with Lowrance HDS Live. Upgrade to HDS Live with a Ghost Trolling Motor, Live Sight Transducer, or Structure Scan 3D, and get up to $500 cash back.
Yeah, you care about gear ratios, inches per turn, and ball bearings, but most importantly, you want reliability and dependability in the equipment you use. Luz doesn't cut corners when it comes to the gear they build. The new Speed Spool LFS is the best $99 reel in the market. Go see for yourself.
We've paired one of the most iconic hulls in the history of bass boats with a proven lineup of trusted accessories. We're bringing you best-in-class value and performance, leaving others in your wake. Turnkey value, turnkey performance. the Pantera 2 is an overachiever in the 19-foot category. Once you hit the throttle, you'll feel the rush, and there's no looking back.
Kevin, what are you doing here?
Oh, I'm just filling in for Billy.
I need 660 shad crankbaits in the Series 5 model.
We're out.
You're not out. You got all kinds of them right there.
We're out.
Kevin, I need six.
Have a lollipop.
I do not want a lollipop.
Have a lollipop.
Do you have it in sexy shad color?
At Duckett Fishing, we have assembled the top pros in the country to help us design rods to give you a competitive advantage.
Castability, strength, durability, action, sensitivity, weight and balance, and consistency.
Combine that with the best warranty in the industry, and you have rods that are pro-driven.
Duckett Fishing, pro-driven.
I want to share to you a new product we got coming out from Sunline. This is the FC leader size spools that we have now. We've got a lot of requests for this. A lot of you guys use fluorocarbon for leaders only, myself included. And one of the problems you have is when you have a 200-yard spool, that might last you 2, 3, 4 years. You might even lose it before you even get done with the spool. So we've gone to a little smaller spool. These are 50-yard spool sizes. You know, that way you're not holding your line on forever. You can keep your line fresh, use it when you can, stores real easily in the boat. We got all of our popular line sizes that you're used to with our Sniper from 5 to 14 pound. If you guys are looking for a line that you're only tying for a leader, go check out Sunline FC Leader 100% fluorocarbon and give it a try.
Blue Water by TH Marine. Offering LED lighting solutions for your boat, trailer, truck, ATV, and so much more. Engineered and built to be rugged with waterproof and submersible options. Designed for easy installation, Blue Water is available in a variety of colors and styles. All backed by a limited lifetime warranty. Blue Water by TH Marine.
The name SPRO says it all. SPRO stands for Sports Professionals. When you look at the pro staff that SPRO has brought on board over the past 15 years, it's been pretty incredible. I mean, one got it just then. From the development of the Rock Crawler to the McStick, from the Fat Papa to the Little John series, when you tie a SPRO bait on, you know it's been designed by a professional to get the job done.
Meet AFCO's iCast award-winning Hydronaut waterproof system. Hydronaut features a 20K 100% waterproof shell, double dry cuffs to keep water out, speed vent hood engineered to prevent neck strain at high rates of speed. AFCO exclusive Cyclops tactical camera mount. Comfort Flex shoulder straps for all-day comfort. Outerwear that you can count on. The Hydronaut waterproof system by AFCO. Any fish, any water.
All of us on the Pro Tournament Trail use Gamigatsu hooks.
Why?
Because they are absolutely the best.
It's not about how many bites you get.
It's how many you put in the boat.
Gamigatsu makes hooks for every fishing style.
We didn't come this far to lose fish.
Did you?
For more information, visit gamigatsu.com.
The Big Bite Baits Kamikaze Swim On is a very unique bait, and it's got a full body but with ribs to give it a bigger profile but not more plastic. It's got a jointed tail that gives it a lot of action, as well as this up and down crawl type trail with holes and ribs in it, so it creates a bubble trail almost. This bait is supposed to be fished upside down or vertical like this on a great for a chatterbait. I prefer it on a swim jig as well, but you can also cut it down and put it on the back of a finesse jig. You know, flip it around for some spotted bass or flipping docks. Anytime you want a small, compact, you know, little trailer for it, this is great for it. So check out the full lineup of swim-ons at BigBiteBaits.com.
All right, we are back on a Wednesday, wrapping up just an incredible week here on BTL. And very excited to welcome in our next guest. And he's been on the show before. He's been on a couple of times, Matthew.
He has, but I don't think we've ever had Jimmy Houston back-to-back with Rick Klun.
No.
I mean, you want to throw some of those stats together as far as the history of the sport.
Yeah.
We're basically interviewing the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and then we have Mark Davis on Monday.
And had Larry Dixon on a couple weeks ago.
So we're, it's very, very exciting around here. All right, let's bring him in. Rick, you there, man?
Yes, I am.
All right. Thank you so much for taking the time out to be on the show. And I want to kind of kick things off. I know recently you went on vacation over to Europe, and I'm really curious what you thought about that experience going over there. And I'm not really sure what countries you visited, so why don't you talk a little bit about your trip?
Yeah, actually, I went over there to see my youngest daughter, who's 40-something now, and her family's, her husband's in the military in the Netherlands. And so we went over to visit them, and we went to Germany and Italy and Amsterdam and Venice and, and the Netherlands. And we spent New Year's there. And but it was really, of course, Europe, it's kind of, I enjoyed a lot of it. From the standpoint that it amazes me, you know, how Europe is like the United States, and you think they're just, everything's so close together, you know, Texas and Oklahoma and Arkansas and Tennessee, where Germany and Italy and all of those are kind of the same situation, but they speak different languages, you know, and you go, whoa, how did that happen? You know, but I enjoyed it, just the way they do things different. Some things I think I really wish we did like they did, and some things I'm glad we do the way we do. But the main thing over there that I noticed was just there's a whole lot of people over there. You know, you don't have the wide open spaces you have here. And I actually went over there, too, to work with the Italy Bass Federation guys. You know, I've been over there with them, fish tournaments over there before. So it was kind of a mixture of seeing my daughter and also doing a little bit of, you know, work with the Italy Bass Federation.
Wow. Bunch of serious Italian anglers over there that are, you know, kind of really into it, that are trying to make the move. We've seen a lot of the international guys. Obviously, Carl Jacobson comes to mind. Big influx of Canadian anglers on the Elite Series this year. Are there any Italians on the horizon?
Yeah, well, I'm sure there are. You know, it's but it actually had one young, probably in his early 20s, said, you know, I'm coming over here to start the fish pro, can you give me, you know, advice? And, you know, obviously they always do that, and which is a very tough thing to do, because really you can have all the ability in the world, but you still may not make it. And that's usually what I end up telling even young anglers over here, is I said, I don't know what's inside you. I can watch you fish, I can watch you use your equipment. But I said, the final say in whether or not you can make it or not is something I can't see. And I said, when I knew I could make it, when I was at rock bottom, and I knew that I wasn't going to quit. I see a lot of guys come and go. They hit rock bottom. They lose their passion. They lose their love for it. They start to hate what they're doing, and they have to leave. But then you have those that hit rock bottom like I did, and they actually, even though you're at rock bottom, you love what you're doing. And you just know, I'm going to figure out some way, somehow, I'm going to make it. And that's the part that, you know, only they will figure out on their own.
Interesting.
Rock bottom, Rick. I had no idea when you mentioned that you hit rock bottom. What happened? When was that?
That was about my end of my second year. I quit my job in 1974. I fished 74, 75, and 76 classics. 75, I lost my house. I lost everything. I had to move into a $125 rent house on the lake where I was trying to guide. Nobody even knew who Rick Klun was. And so I'd get about one party a month. A lot of the tournaments back then I went to, if I didn't get a check at the tournament, I didn't have enough money to get home. So if it hadn't been for my wife and her job, we would have probably starved to death. Even the third classic I went to, that I won at Gunnersville in 1976, my first one, I didn't have that. Back then, that was the secret classics, as you guys know, and you had to meet at a central location. We had to meet in New Orleans that year, and I didn't have enough money to get from Houston to New Orleans. I'd actually even called Ray Scott and said, can you lend me some money to get there? And he said no. And I still had one old shotgun, my favorite gun, a Browning automatic 270 deer rifle, and I hawked it to get to New Orleans. And, of course, then I ended up winning the Classic, and everything just flip-flopped automatically.
Wow.
Wow. So everyone talks about how you've mentored guys, you've been around. Did you have a – was there a guy on tour? Did you have a mentor that you look back on in those early 70s and was like, this guy really helped me through this time?
Yeah, I did, but it wasn't anybody would recognize. It was a guy that showed me a work ethic and the strength of intuition, probably more. I was inspired by Billy Murray winning the Classic at Lake Mead. I said, because I was still working for Exxon Oil Company, the second largest computing mm-hmm. center in the world. But I said, golly, he just made $10,000, and that's what I make working a whole year. So I was foolish enough to think that, you know, I'm going to go out and start winning. And so Billy Murray kind of inspired me with the bass. Well, I guess the Bassmaster Classic did. That was my dream, to fish it and win it. I think that's still most anglers' dreams nowadays. That is the thing that inspires more young anglers than anything. It's the Bassmaster Classic, and it was for me. But the guy that really inspired me was a guy named Elroy Kruger. He didn't inspire me. He taught me. And he worked so hard, and he was so intuitive about his fishing that he was an angler from San Antonio. I knew of him because I fished against him in the Texas State tournaments back when I was in my bass club days at Pasadena Bass Club in the Houston area. And San Antonio Bass Club just dominated. And he was one of those, and he ended up starting fishing bass before I did. But he actually helped me a little bit, let me stay with him, and he always had this incredible knowledge of what was going on.
Wow, that's interesting. I was looking back at the stats and talked, you know, a little bit about the numbers. I said, we don't want to talk with Rick about numbers. He's got a lot lot better stories. But I just think it's crazy. Obviously, we're coming up on the St. John's River, where you've won the last two times, you know, were there. And it's interesting, you know, you fished the St. John's River in 1975 and 76. During those years, you talked about your struggling. Yeah. And in those two tournaments, you weighed in 5 pounds in 1975, 3 pounds in 1976. And then 41 years later, you weighed in 81 pounds in 16 and 1 and 98 pounds in 2019 and 1. And it's just cool to look at that juxtaposition of 4 decades later. The 8 pounds total in those two tournaments versus nearly 200 pounds later, 4 decades later.
Well, that was what Elroy hurt me. Elroy fished so incredibly fast, and he was a power angler. He rarely slowed down to drag anything like a worm or something. And that's the kiss of death in Florida. I mean, I was learning how to fish that way, and I could. And man-made lakes, that served me pretty well. I made the Classic, you know, for 28 straight years doing it. And but at Florida, it was the kiss of death. And that's finally, it's what I had to learn in Florida. I've had to learn to slow down.
Rick, I want to ask you this. Obviously, you've tournament fished in 5 decades. Just you know, that's incredible in itself. But do you think that the sport and the game has got to a point where there needs to be more equality from an equipment standpoint at a competitive level because of the advancements in technology? Should everybody be on the same playing field to create a more competitive environment? What are your thoughts?
Hell no. No, you can't socialize the sport. You know, and that's basically what you're doing. You're starting to handicap it. You're starting to socialize it. I'm not saying electronics can't eventually go too far, but it's about learning. You know, Coach Cody Huff is fishing the Classic this year. He won the college, last year, the college national championship, and he's from my town. And there's a line from Johnson Livingston Seagull that says, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And my teacher has appeared, and believe it or not, it's in the electronics area, and it's Cody Huff. It's a young college kid. So it's not exactly where you, being a 73-year-old angler doing it for 43 years, expect your teacher to show up from. You kind of expect them to show up from a different plane of existence, but that's not the case. And what I've learned from using this advanced electronics with him is how much it's teaching me about what all the, you know how to, even the greatest scientists on the planet, even Einstein, what was his last thing he tried to do in life? He was still searching for the complete answer, a unified theory of relativity. The best fisherman in the world, we're incomplete, and if we quit that type of stuff, we will continue to be incomplete. And what I've learned from watching this depth finder stuff is how many of our theories were not complete. In some cases, were even completely wrong. So, no, I'm not ready for that to happen but anywhere close to the imagination. I think that will stop learning if we do stuff like that.
Wow. All right.
So it's kind of known around the circles of the professional guys. Everyone's got the story of when Rick Klun came up to ask them a question and how pumped they are. I remember Dean's talked about it with the frog. Brett Heights talked about it with the chatterbait. Holy crap, Rick Klun came up and wanted to know some of the intricacies of the bladed jig. You're talking about the Cody Huff and electronics and stuff. Kind of, you're always learning. What kind of over the course of your career would you say has been one of the most difficult aspects for you to learn?
It hasn't been difficult to learn, because the learning is what still makes me feel young. It's the unlearning is what is the hardest. And I've had to do that in the last 7-8 years, where I realized that my old style, which is basically the MLF style of fishing, I don't want to do no more. And at the highest levels of fishing, that style doesn't work anymore. So I had to change. I had to unlearn. I had to quit just trying to find the most 2-pounders faster than anybody on the planet could find them and catch more than anybody could catch, because they don't do you any good anymore. At the highest levels of fishing, you better be fishing for a bigger fish now. And not just fishing for them in the tournament, but you better be practicing for them. You better be learning how to catch them. So it's been real, real difficult for me. I've had success. I've actually, like I said, I've caught five or six biggest strings I've ever caught in my life in the last 6-7 years. At Falcon, 32 and 35 and 37, and then last year 34-14, and year before, in 2016, 31 something. So I'm catching these big strings. I'm learning how to do that. But it's creating incredible inconsistency. And letting go of that is what's been the hardest for me, because the consistency used to come from, hey, I'm going to catch a limit every day. I don't care what size they are. But again, that doesn't really fascinate me anymore. It's just going out, especially when you get you catch limit every day of every tournament in the elite level, and you won't even draw a 50 place check. I've had to change, yes, but I've also enjoyed it tremendously. So it's been more about the unlearning of giving up 30, 40 bites a day that I have to do to fish for bigger fish.
Was there a period in your career where you threw the crankbait too much?
No. There was a period in my career which I threw the crappie crankbait too much, but not the crankbait in totality.
Crankbait. How did that go down?
Yeah. Well, I threw that for years. But my first classic, 22 of my 27 fish that I won that on, came on a Bagley little tiny honeybee. And I don't know if you remember that bait, but it's like the Bill Norman crappie crankbait. Mm-hmm. It's a little tiny crankbait.
Mm-hmm.
So, my career, that was always, and I excuse the expression, but if I was having a tough day, that was my save my ass bait. Okay? I would tie on that little bitty crankbait, and I'm going to catch a limit. If there's fish around, they will bite it, But the problem is you're usually looking at a 5-fish, 10-pound limit, day in, day out with that. So, yeah, as things evolved and the limits got smaller and the fishermen got better and the lakes got better, 5-fish, weigh 10 pounds, weren't going to do you any good.
All right, I want to go to the instant feedback. David in Wisconsin says, a while back, Rick, You said that you used to apply a one rod and action to the same reel ratio to multiple presentations, flipping, cranking, etc. Do you still go by that rule?
Yes, when I'm using casting equipment. And now, if you're going to obviously the spinning rods and stuff, then no, drop with the advent of new techniques like drop shotting, et cetera, you know, and that type of stuff, and you know, Ned rigs and all that, you go to spinning rods. No, you got to go to a spinning rod, ladder line, 6 pound test, whatever. If I'm still using a casting reel, no, it's the same rod and the same reel.
That's interesting because, you know, that blows people's minds because you got everybody that's matching everything. But on the PGA Tour, I don't know if you know Bryson DeChambeau, who's been around for a couple years now. He wears what kind of golfer hat?
Yeah,
I guess that Payne Stewart used to wear. But all of his irons are the same length. They're all the length of a 7-iron. And he believes that, you know, just by that consistency that he reduces or eliminates variation.
Yeah,
so he knows what he's getting with every club.
Well, that's essentially, it's like handing the free throw shooter a different ball every shot. Okay, you force him to have to adjust. Now he will start making it with no matter what size ball it is, but he has that adjustment period that I'm trying to eliminate. I don't want to have to adjust. So, because that's taking time. When you're adjusting, it's taking time away from your thought process of what the fish are doing. You're now adjusting something mechanically. It's like if you had to go run a different troll motor the next day because your troll motor broke. You know, you've all done that, and the button's on the wrong side. It's distracting you. You know, it's just getting in your way.
That's a great point. All right, Scott in Virginia wants to know, can you tell us what the color of the crappie crankbait was?
Fire Tiger.
All right, and he wants to know if that's your favorite.
It works. it seems to work in all different colors of water very well, clear versus off color. I think it's more, you know, in being color, there are always examples that you can't deny that, or at least it's a variable that you said it has to be making a difference. But we know now, if you look at it from a scientific standpoint, and if you're ever fish clear water and for trout, well, the trout guys match the hatch because they have to. That water's so clear. And so that means that the fish is using the sense of sight at a very high level. In bass fishing, that's not always true. If you'd had to just say, I've got to focus on one of the senses when I'm choosing a lure, it would be the lateral line for me 8 times out of 10 versus sight.
That crappie crank is dead. Remember, Sean Goodwin also has an All-American trophy on his mantle because of a little .5.
Yeah.
That's cool.
All right, back to the instant feedback. Scott in Virginia wants to know, what makes the Trickster spinnerbait so good?
What makes any spinnerbait good is the blade. And then the knowledge of understanding the relationship between the blade and the head. It's not the color of the spinnerbait. It's not, you know, it's the wool leaf is 90% of all sales in the country, but the problem is it doesn't catch very many big fish unless you go to giant wool leaves, and then they're a pain in the tail to throw in a high wind. So the Trickster has what's called a long drop blade. It's a cross between an Indiana and wool leaf. So you have the flash of a wool leaf, but you have the water displacement of an Indiana, and then you have to understand and match it with a big head. I fish it on a 3/4 ounce plus head because I like to burn it and I like to slow roll it. And if you're burning it, you've got to have that big head or it's going to roll on you, and all fishermen hate that. So that's why they fish wool leaves. Wool leaves don't displace a lot of water, but that means they're also not attracting a lot of big fish.
Rick, how often do you just get to go fun fishing?
When I'm on the water, it's all fun fishing. Okay, that's what most people still find hard to believe. It's like the old saying that made me, Steve Wright, and writer for Bass, asked me, he said, you know, have you ever heard of Satchel Paige? And I said, yeah. He said, well, you know, Satchel Paige was the first black pitcher in Major League Baseball. And they pitched him every day at times. He didn't get any rest. And even in his up into his late, almost his 50s, they pitched him. And they asked him, so how old do you think you are? He says, well, when I'm sitting on the bench walking that mound, I feel like I'm 60 years old. But when I step on that mound, I'm 29. And that's kind of the way I am when you say about fun fishing. When I get on that water, I'm 29. I'm learning. I love the puzzle. It's my video game. Every day, no 2 days are the same. Now, off the water, y'all been around enough to know that that gets old, okay? But on the water, no, it's still, every day is fun to me. And I went crappie fishing this fall. We went fishing slick heads, which are live minnows they catch in the creeks around here, fishing for spotted bass. We're just fishing for eating fish. So, hey, I do the other stuff too, but I love the puzzle of fishing.
On the water, you talk about the enjoyment. And, man, you've been probably, I said this before you came on, man, I said, Rick and I like to talk about poker. I said, imagine for the last 50 years of his life, all everyone wants to talk about is fishing. But if you had to pick one other angler to have an in-depth off-the-water discussion about fishing, whether it be the mental aspect, the physical aspect of fishing, who are you going to really sit down and go in-depth with and really enjoy that conversation?
Pretty tough one, actually, because there's not a whole, yeah, you know me well enough to know that my brain can get way out there. And usually when I get the area I want to go into, it's off limits to most anglers because of society. That's one of the things, the one angler I probably miss the most is Takahiro Omori. Because first of all, he doesn't lie. You know, all these other guys, even your best buddy. I've never caught him in a lie. And he understands, you know, that he's gone to schools, he's gone to these camps where they try to really physically, mentally, and spiritually get you working at a peak level, at a high level. He's been to my schools. Outside of him, there's nobody that I can talk to that we're going to talk to at the level I want to talk at, you know, as far as really sharing and advancing, you know, your ability to perform at a high level.
Huh. That's interesting. Yeah. All right. For those fans out there.
Let me just state this. There's some of them, okay, that are unconsciously competent. There's a lot of them that I consider unconsciously competent, but I don't know very many that are consciously competent.
Okay.
And I'm talking about the best.
Interesting.
Unconsciously, I'm trying to unwind this here. Unconsciously competent. They're good and or they understand it, but don't know that they understand it.
They won't. You know, no, they won't. They don't understand where it's coming from.
Okay.
Interesting. Wow. Interesting. All right. For those fans out there that may not be aware, one of the icons of this industry, Forrest L. Wood, is kind of taking a turn. He's in the hospital. He's not doing well right now. And Rick, I want to ask you, you've been with Nitro, obviously, a number of years, but what's a story that you could tell us and the fans about your friendship and interaction with Forrest L. Wood?
There's a handful of people in the sport. He was an angler. He was a businessman. He was a manufacturer. He was everything in the sport that you could be. But even more important than that, he did it in the right way. There's successful men on the planet that you know, their success is at the expense of other human beings. And then there's successful men with, say, elevate the other human beings around them. And that was the way Forrest was. My personal experience with Forrest was back when I lost my sponsorship in the 80s with the Glass Drum Boat Company. He came to me and said, Rick, I just want you... No, he actually came to me 2 months before I lost my sponsorship and said, Rick, I just want you to know if anything ever happens, you will never be out without a boat as long as I'm, the president of Ranger Boat Company. And then 2 months later, I lost my sponsorship. I did not go with him, and I went back to him, though, and I said, Forrest, I want you to understand, you already got every good angler there is on your team, and I really appreciate what you've offered, but I need to go somewhere where I feel like I can help that he already had rolling, and Bill Dance, and Jimmy Houston, you name them, he had them. And he understood. But I said, Parks, aren't you worried about the way the economy has gone? And I'll never forget what he told me. He said, nope, I'm not. He said, if I build a good product and if I treat people right, there will always be 3,000 people out there that'll buy a Ranger bass boat. And that stuck with me. He didn't, you know, that was his whole way he lived his life.
Wow. All right, Rick, we're almost out of time, but I got to ask you, how is the poker game, and have you played in any Heartland poker events or anything here in the Midwest?
It's strange you say that, because believe it or not, in the Netherlands, it's legal. Where I just got back from visiting my brother. And I played several times over there with my son-in-law, and my daughter likes to play too. So, yeah, it was kind of the first time I've actually have played in a real live event since probably y'all's last event.
Yeah. Wow.
Rick, should we bring back fish and chips? I've been working on Jeffries. That we've been dropping hits. I've been trying to make them. I think it needs to be brought back.
Well, I totally, you know, as much as I love what I do, we all need a break at times. And, of course, to me, you know, the poker has so many of the same elements in it that any competitive thing has in it. And I love, the mental side of it. And it is the one deal that you can eliminate luck. If you know the science and you execute it, you can eliminate the process of luck.
Absolutely. Stan on the instant feedback wants to know, what's your favorite hand to play?
Like pocket pair, like you look down and you're like, this is my jam.
I'm like Doyle Brunson. All that pocket aces are good for is winning a small hand or losing a big one. So no, I prefer to play some offbeat. I would rather play the hands that can beat pocket aces or pocket kings. And we, you and I, both know those are the straights and the flushes and those kind of hands. You can get pocket deuces and hit a set, but I'd rather go for the other ones.
So suited connectors is what you like to look down and see.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm with you, Rick. All right, Rick. Can't thank you enough for taking time out, man. Really looking forward to 2020. And you're welcome here anytime. I will keep you posted if we get closer to announcing that we're bringing back fish and chips. But I'm working on that. But it is so much of a pleasure to have you on the show. And best of luck to you in 2020, man.
All right. Well, hey, stay in touch. I like talking to you.
All right. Take care, Rick. All right, there you have it, Rick Klun. Wow, Matthew,
does he still do any of his camps or any of his?
I'm not sure.
I mean, that might be worth going to. Sending me there to go do one of his camps, I would totally be in on that, Mark.
I think a lot of people would.
I know,
man. Just some of the stuff that he said. I'm going to be honest. I expect one answer. And I get something that's
totally different.
Yeah.
But that's how it's been.
I know. Very, very fascinating about his discussion about going out and catching 10 pounds and catching five.
Mm-hmm. Dude.
And he's changing. He's trying to change.
It is. But here's the thing about Rick. You can still see it in his eyes. His eyes are still alive. You know what I mean? Like they're dancing around there when you're in them and see him in that tournament. It's still, you know, Mr. Clud and Rick. You know, it's guys are still, you know, although he is very approachable, I feel like, once you get to know him and stuff.
Yeah.
Guys are still the level of respect that Rick Klun has earned in this industry, and there's a number of them, but Rick is just even a step above that.
Yeah.
And you know, it's partially the mystique around him and kind of how he's done stuff.
Five.
You know, you just you don't see him bagging bush beers back in the bar afterwards, cutting up. You know, like a Denny Brower has. But Denny, you could see him there, and he'd be like, pull a chair up. I got my ass kicked today. You know what I mean? It's like a different deal. But Rick is, he's one of my favorites, man.
He is.
He is.
And you know, we've mentioned this before on this show, but so many of the anglers, when he won, they hung around.
The first time, 2016.
Yeah, just to see him win.
Yeah, the crazy thing to me with Rick is, you know, he's got, what, I think 32 Bassmaster Classics under his belt. But it's been 2009 since he was in a Classic. I mean, we're a decade without Rick being in the Classic. And I remember covering this when he missed that Classic in 2008 that broke the streak. And then, you know, he made it in 2009. And do you think he'll make another one?
I do.
I really do. I would have loved to have seen him. You know, last year, obviously, the talk early was, you know, he wins. He's leading the Angler of the Year after the St. John's River, coming up on Lake Gunnersville, the 50th Bassmaster Classic, where he won, I believe, in, what, 76, 77, something like that. But then he wasn't able to get it done. So I would love to see Rick. And it's interesting how he talks about the versatility and all that stuff. I'd love to see Rick get another Classic under his belt, because I think Bass would absolutely roll out the red carpet.
It'd be so awesome.
Blow it out. I could see, you know, 50 years of Rick Klun highlights on the Jumbotron, you know, as he weighs in. And
yeah. Yeah. All right. I want to let everybody know, if you are in Oklahoma or surrounding areas of the Tulsa area, and I don't know if you know this or not, Matthew, but this weekend there is a Bass University taking place in Tulsa. Ish Monroe, Jason Christie, JT Kenny, Wesley Strader, Jamie Hartman, and Stetson Blaylock.
Man, that's a good one.
Are all going to take place in Tulsa for the Bass University fishing classes, and I believe it's going to be at the Marriott Hotel there in Tulsa. Really, really great facility. That's where they have the Oklahoma State Coaches Clinic every year. So really, really good. They're right next to Southern Hills. So if you want to interact with these guys, and that's the one thing about what Pete Glusick and his group does, it's opened up. It is very casual, very laid back. You can get some one-on-one time with these guys. And Pete and his staff just put on a tremendous opportunity for the fishing fans and for the anglers out there to interact and really become a better angler based upon what the Bass University has going on.
I went to one of these in Tulsa a couple years ago that Jason was at, Christie.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting, you know, these guys get up and they you know, they talk about what they talk about, and then they'll often go out of the room when another seminar guy is talking, you know, the anglers who are in it and kind of do some stuff or get ready for their next one. Dude, Jason got up and talked. Every single person that was there, like, just shut up and listen to him in the room. Like, they were all like, okay, this is Jason Christie talking about Oklahoma stuff.
Yeah.
It was good stuff. So,
all right, check this out. Also, the same weekend in South Carolina, if you're close to Anderson, South Carolina, listen to this lineup. Brian Thrift, Gerald Swindle, John Cruz, Brandon Cobb, and Brian Latimer.
Wow.
Big lineup there. Yeah. So if you're, you know, close to the South Carolina area, I would take a look at that. You can find out all the information that you need to know about what Pete Glusick is doing with the Bass University on thebassuniversity.com. Go in there, check it out. I have no idea how much it costs or anything, but based upon that lineup is priceless. Either location does not matter. All right, what do you have lined up, Matthew, this weekend?
ACRA Rodeo Finals, and I'm going to be at the boat show. I'm just not sure what boat show it is. I need to clarify where this boat show is.
You don't even know where you're going.
It's not the Oklahoma City one, is it, this week, is it?
I have no
idea.
But
I think there might be one. I don't know. I need to figure out where I'm going to be, but I'm going to be helping out the basket.
And then where's the rodeo at?
On Saturday. It's in Tulsa.
Oh, okay.
So, all right, one more thing. We do this. FLW Pro Circuit starts tomorrow. Sam Rayburn, 150 boat field, winning weight, winning angler mark. Come on.
No.
Heck, just say 100 pounds Miles Berghoff, and that's how you're going to pick it anyway. We have to, because it'll be over with it before.
All right. I'll say Matt Reed.
Matt Reed. You're going with a recent guess.
Yeah, I'll say Matt Reed, okay. And I'll say, how many days? 4 days, right?
Four days. Then no zeros. They can weigh in five fish every day.
I'll say 92 pounds.
Okay.
All right. Matt Reed, 92 pounds. What do you got?
Dickie Newberry, 83 pounds.
All right.
We both went way off the map on those.
we shall see. All right. Let's see here. Next week, really, really good shows lined up. I want to remind everybody, Monday, we're going to have Mark Davis on. Going back to Basscat. And Manny had some good years with Basscat.
Rick's interview flew by. I'm kind of disappointed that the show's over already.
Dude, it was like 40 minutes.
It felt like five.
I know.
I didn't even get to ask him anything. I mean, I asked him some stuff.
Hey, we just needed to let him talk.
I agree.
We didn't need to talk at all. All right. And then on Tuesday, the CEO of BASS, Mr. Bruce Aiken, going to be on live via Skype. Can't wait for that. And then Wednesday, I got some stuff going on with my ticker.
No show?
No show
what,
on.
Stress test?
Yeah.
You get on a treadmill and they put like
I've been doing that. Yeah, I'm doing all that. So I got to get the ticker checked on Wednesday. So no show.
You going bowling this weekend?
I went bowling on Saturday.
Watching the tour?
Yes. I'm actually going out there on Thursday evening. And then I don't know if I'm going to go to the finals on Sunday or not. Just have to wait and see. But
see Jeffries on Fox in the front row yelling, Turkey!
No. No. Anyway, I did bowl for the first time since my heart attack.
Did it feel good?
Oh, it felt amazing.
Is there a cerebral kind of bowler like Rick Klun? Like, is there anybody who's really
about
the mental
he's
aspect?
He's the GOAT, man.
And not just accomplishments, but also his approach?
Oh, big time, yeah. I mean, he's like a rocket scientist. Seriously.
I saw him when we went last year.
Yeah.
You pointed out. You said, that's him.
That's
him,
the right GOAT.
You fanboy over the bowling guys. It's so weird.
It's not weird, dude. It's just
the way you talk to the bowling guy, it'd be like if Faircloth was in studio and I was like, oh, this guy's hook set. You should see how perfect his hook set is. It's just if you took a video of his hook set, that's how everyone should set the hook. Wow. The guy's just standing there going like, I roll it pretty good.
That's pretty funny. All right, everybody, next week, make sure you do a rating and review over on iTunes. To have a shot at winning that HDS 12 Live, HDS Live 12, and a value between, I don't know, $2,000 and $3,000. So my way of giving back to everybody. Everybody out there, have a very, very safe remainder of the week. Have a safe weekend. We're back on Monday. That's it. We're out of here.